I had the privilege when I was in college to be involved with several different orchestras, and it was a privilege. And before an orchestra comes out on stage, the very first thing that's going to take place is the principal violinist is going to get alone, and the principal violinist is going to go in their violin case, and they're going to get out a tuning fork that's probably set to the pitch of A440. And they're going to go, boom. They're going to listen to it, and then they're going to tune the A on their violin. They're going to listen to it again, and they're going to tune it so that as you're listening to it, it goes, when things are out of tune, you can actually hear vibrations between the, it's like the two tones are almost competing with each other. But then it gets so the vibrations come closer and closer together, and then it sounds like it's one. And then once that string is tuned, they take from that string and they tune all the other strings on that one violin. And then the orchestra all goes out on stage. And at first, everybody gets their seats, and they are, you know, they might be playing just a little bit. And then there comes a point where there's the tap, 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 and everybody stops playing, and the principal violinist will get up, and they'll play that A. And then the violins in the section will tune to that, and then all the rest of the strings, and then all the other sections of the orchestra. And now it's all ready to perform. But it all started off with that standard, which everything is built from, which was that tuning fork, which was in the principal violinist's case. And it's a standard, which everything else needs to adjust to. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the gospel message that we have been handed down to us, and we have God's word through his word here, the Bible, we adjust our lives to be in conformity to what the Lord would have. And you think about it, coming to church here this morning, we're all different people. I think about the differences in the occupations you have and the differences in your backgrounds. I mean, not everybody here was born in the United States. I mean, we're different people. We're different ages. We're different tastes. But we've got that one thing that pulls us all together. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and the life that we have found that we can live in him. And that is what makes us one. He is what makes us one. And together, we endeavor to keep our eyes on him and to be his people. And, you know, in a day and age that we live in, that's a challenging thing. Because it seems like issues that divide us are the things that get the top billing. And as Christians, we need to make sure that we take the thing that matters the most and we keep that the matter that matters the most. Let's start off this morning in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There we go. Let's begin with verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. That last verse there, verse 15, is the one that's just been so on my heart and that I want to build our little talk on. Without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. It would be very easy to make a case that the generation that we live in is very crooked and very depraved. I mean, there are things that are considered acceptable in our world now that if you could go back 20 years and talk to those people, they would have never thought we would have gotten to this point. When you think about just the one issue, human sexuality, people are all over the place. When you think about what is accepted, people are all over the place. Things that just seem, there's nothing that you could ever come to that you would say is that outrageous or extreme that there isn't somebody doing it. And there is a group of people all nodding that it's okay. The truth. I don't know about you, but I hunger for truth. Can you trust a salesperson? I'm sure there's some honest ones out there. But it's when you meet a person and you find out that they're a salesperson, often the first question you have, you're wondering if you can't believe them, because some people will tell you anything to sell their stuff. Can you believe a politician? In the same way, I'm sure there's honest ones out there, but when you first meet them, before you know anything about them, you ask yourself the question, can I believe what's coming out of their mouth? Or are they saying this just trying to win me to their cause? When I have more time and I have opportunity to learn the rest of the story, will I find out that the things that they're telling me are the truth? Crooked and depraved generation. That stuff has always gone on, but lately it just seems like it's pervasive. And notice that he's making a comparison here. He says, you got crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You shine like stars in the universe because everything's dark, but you're not dark. And we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are supposed to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm more personally comfortable when I am letting my light shine with you guys. Because you all agree with me, mostly. Right? But I can think of plenty of other places that if you go and you let your light shine, there are some folks that are going to stop and turn and look. And the expression on their face is not going to be one of agreement and acceptance. There are some folks that if you let your light shine, you better be prepared to get an earful. Keep your thumb here, we're coming back, but let's go over to Matthew chapter 5 for a minute. The people that came out to hear Jesus when he was preaching, Jesus complimented them in a wonderful way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Goes down just a little bit, and he tells them that they are the light of the world. How encouraging. And I know some people, if you'd say, you know, what's the light of the world? They'd say, oh, Jesus. But look at what Jesus is saying here. He's telling those people that had come to hear him that they were the light of the world. But look, in both of those cases where he says, you're the salt of the world, you're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world, in both of them, the very next thing he says gives them is a warning. He says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, in the second one, he says, he talks about, you may be a light, but if you're not supposed to be hidden under a bowl. You see, standing out as a light in a dark sky requires courage. It requires perseverance. It requires you to keep your eyes on the Lord and you find your peace in Him. And I know it's difficult because we hate rejection. I just got done reading a wonderful book. It's called Rejection Proof. And the writer of the book found that rejection paralyzed him. So he was trying to study himself and trying to find out why rejection was so painful to him. And he went through this journey, this 100 days of rejection, and he tried to put himself in a position every day where people would say no to him so he could learn some lessons. In one of the situations, he kept getting more and more extreme. He dressed up as a soccer player and knocked on a random door at a random house and asked the person who answered the door if he could practice his soccer skills in the man's backyard, and the man would videotape him as he's practicing his soccer skills. Complete stranger. Interesting book, because what he found out is you could take things that are just totally outlandish, but if you ask in the right way, often you get to do it. But one of the things he discusses in the book is this whole thing about rejection. We hate rejection. We do not want to ask somebody something if we think the answer is going to be no. We don't want to put ourselves in a position where we don't think things are going to work out. We don't want to try out for the team if we think we're not going to make it. We don't want to apply for the job if we think we're going to get turned down. We don't want to ask. It's much more comfortable to fit in. But the salt is going to be sprinkled where it is needed. And where it is needed, there is a lacking. So as soon as that salt has been sprinkled, it changes things for the good. Now, I know for the salt, it would be much more comfortable to stay in the salt shaker with other salt. But that's not why it was created. It was created to improve flavor. In some cases, it was created to preserve things. And that's what it's supposed to be used for. I think for us, sometimes there's situations where the Lord wants to put us, where the Lord has a job for us to do. But it is not a place where everything's going to go smoothly. Maybe the place where He needs you is a place where there's going to be a lot of drama. And I don't know about you, but I kind of hate drama. I try not to be a drama person. I try to affect my circumstances so that it makes it less drama. But sometimes the place where God needs us is the place where people might not look at things the way we do and might not have values like we do. The place where there's huge need. But God's put you there because you know something. You know better. You've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been walking with Him and you found that relationships work right when you work them His way. And business stuff works right when you treat people His way. And now you find yourself in a place where people do not look at things like that. They're holding on to a different set of values, a different way of doing things, and there you are. And you can probably be like, well, I'm going to leave now, thanks. I don't fit in here. I mean, sometimes you just got to go home and pray and square your shoulders up and go back in and just be who God's called you to be and realize it's going to take time. But you've been called to be salt in that situation. You're the light of the world. You know, if we blocked up all the windows and we shut off all the lights in this room so it was absolutely pitch dark, absolutely pitch dark, and I lit a match, the truth is that this room is no longer dark. Now, you'd say, well, one match isn't going to do much for lighting this room up. It isn't. But no matter where you are in this room, you now have a point of reference. Because now you can see it. And the truth is from that one match, another match could be lit. And now you got two. And the more that's lit, the brighter the room's going to be. But think about what that room would be with no match lit. You know, I have enjoyed figuring out who some of my biological siblings are. I mean, I'm so blessed. I've got my, for those of you who haven't met him yet, my brother Jeff is there in the back with a blue shirt. You know, a year ago, neither one of us even knew that the other one existed. And I'm thankful because we're more than just brothers. I mean, we're brothers in the Lord. You know, he loves the Lord Jesus Christ like I do. We have great fellowship. You know, every week we have some kind of contact back and forth with each other. And I know he prays for me, and I pray for him. And there's times when sometimes I feel burdened. And I feel this certain strength knowing that my brother's praying for me. And sometimes he sends me these scriptures that are on his heart. And I think, dear God, he has no idea what's going on this day for me. And he has no idea what an encouragement this is. But some of the siblings that I've met, on my other side, zero background, zero. I had a nephew I met who literally had never, ever stepped foot in a church ever in his life. He has never, ever read a Bible. I mean, you could go down through these Bible characters. Samson has no idea who it is. Noah. Maybe he's heard of Noah. I mean, you go through anything, it's like, you don't know. You start talking to him about truths that we have in the scriptures, and he's like, he'll smile and be polite. I mean, he just doesn't know anything about those things. And I remember going out for walks with him and talking with him about things, and I realized that some of the things I was talking about, I was introducing things for the very first time. And I kind of felt like God had gone on before me, and I felt like I was having an opportunity to do God's work in that young man's life. You know? You see, the salt doesn't belong in the salt shaker. It was meant for a purpose. It was meant to be used. And that light is not supposed to be hidden under a bowl. Now, if you hide it under a bowl, you're not going to have to risk it getting blown out, are you? It's safe. See, if I put my light up here, you might be a gust of wind. It might get blown out. Don't want to do that. We want to keep that light. I'll set it down here. So we could, as Christians, we could say, I'm just going to insulate myself from this crazy world. I am going to go to Bible studies every day of the week. I'm going to have devotions 3 times a day. I will listen to nothing but Z88.3 or the Gaither Gospel Hour. Am I missing anything? I'm going to have no friends but Christian friends. All my social life is just going to be just with church people. In a sense, we're just taking that light and we're putting it under a bowl. And you can say, well, that's easy because I have things in common with these people and we encourage one another. Oh, I understand that. I enjoy those things as well. And I understand that it can cause anxiety having to be around people that are very, very different than you. I understand that. I feel the same way. Don't think I'm like super pastor, I'm impervious to this. I'm the same way. But sometimes it's there that we get involved in conversations. And if nothing more, we get to know people. And so we get to go home and pray about things. And you know what? Often, if people figure out that you love them, they're going to want to know why you love them. Are you trying to sell me something? Are you interested in me in a way I don't really want you to be interested in me? Then when they find out, no, none of those things are true. And then they got to wrestle with, well, why do they care for me? And I can tell they care for me. And in our lonely world, when somebody genuinely cares for you, you're going to be interested in knowing what makes them tick. And how come when everybody else is so selfish and nasty, these people are loving? And then you get an opportunity to share the one that has warmed your heart. Let's move back into Philippians 2. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not like we have to be terrified of the Lord, but we want to approach our salvation like it's a serious thing and like we want to make the best of ourselves for the Lord. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And you know, his spirit within you will guide you to the things that you must do. And we just need to endeavor to do just like the principal violinist in the orchestra. And we need to be connecting with the Lord to make sure that our lives are in tune with what he wants. Should I take this job, Lord? Should I be a part of this team, Lord? Should I be willing to take on this project, Lord? And we let him lead us. So we're in harmony with him. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. And the generation we live in is definitely that. And God doesn't want us to be a part of that. No. So, if everyone else is doing it, don't do it. Stand firm. Everyone else is lying, don't lie. Everyone else is backbiting, don't you do it. Somebody attacks you and you're all ready to attack back, don't do it. Stand firm. Even if no one will notice. You could do something and no one's going to see, no one's going to know. Do the right thing even in those situations. What if temptation seems like it's just piling on you so heavy and you're like, it's just not worth it? Stand firm. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The Lord has not promised to take temptations out of your life. He's promised to be with you and to hold you strong so that you can bear it, so you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And let me just kind of take it back to where we started with this Philippians thing. In which you shine like stars in the universe, standing out in a crooked and depraved generation. So stand firm. I don't know what's going to come up in the news this week. I don't know what argument you're going to find people fiercely engaged in around you. But I encourage you, you need to stand up and no matter what it is, say, I am going to approach this thing as a child of God. I am going to try to react in a way that will be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not going to let my passions control me. I'm going to let the Lord Jesus control me. I'm going to stand steady no matter how hard the winds are blowing. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And you know, you will come up with situations where things will try to move you, but you got to stand up for what's right. Are you going to go along with it all? Or are you going to stand out like a bright and shining star in the dark night? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. And we should not expect that our faith is not going to be challenged. It will. So we are encouraged to be on our guard. Expect it to happen. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. And lastly, he says there in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, be strong and do everything in love. So even if you're put in a situation and everybody's responding in a hateful way, make your mind up, I'm not going to be a person that responds in a hateful way. I'm not going to be a hater. Not going to be that. It's going to mean that you're going to be rubbing against. Everybody else is going to be heading in this direction, and you're going to make your mind up that you're swimming this upstream. So are you going to be banging into all the other fish that are heading this direction? And some of the fish are going to be saying, you're going in the wrong direction, turn around. And I just encourage you to just keep swimming. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, so then, brothers, stand firm. Hold to the teachings that were passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm. Paul's words to Timothy were, keep your head in all situations. And let me just kind of bring it back to where I started at the beginning in Philippians. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Even if you're the only one, even if you feel all alone, stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be his person. Even if it's unpopular, be his person. Even if you're going to get some rub back from it, be his person. Even if somebody's going to be screaming at you, be his person. And amen. Let me pray for you. Dear Father in heaven, help us to be bold and courageous. Bless us in our devotional time, Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would remember your word. That when we find ourselves at decision points in life, that we'd know that the right way we should handle things because you had taught us through your word. We learned it. We knew how we should handle things. And I pray, Lord, that when the time comes, that we would just act on that and we would behave ourselves like your people. Make us strong and bold and courageous for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.